something about this song. Just gets every single bone inside my body dancing. Welcome back into the Blitz. John Abraham, Joe Hunk with you. Here on 97.7 ESPN The Zone.
Is it that I don't got no money part?
Yeah. I'm broke. You got 10? You can spot me? At least like $10 no, tippy toe. Like, I got to get down the road. Need some gas.
No, I'm good. I'm good too.
And I know our next guest is feeling great as well. Ben Garrett from Rebel Grove on 3 joins us on the Neighbors Wealth Management Hotline here on the Blitz. And Ben, of course, coming off of that big win against LSU has got to make you feel really good. But there's other things that are making you feel good about life right now. And just, you know, introduce yourself as a brand new guest to our show.
Well, first off, if y'all handing out money, fellas, I'll take whatever you're giving.
That's the reason why I shut that down quickly. I did not want to start a trend, man. I did not.
I was going to say, I could get a GoFundMe set up in the next 15 minutes if that's what y'all need. You know, you just let me know, whatever it is. And, yeah, I'll take your paper. That'd be very sweet because misery loves company. We're all broke these days. You know what I mean?
We are. And a lot of it is hey, my team is winning now. You know what? That game I didn't think about going to, I may try to figure out a way to get into the stadium. Like, let's just see. Like, you know, do I get the bills paid?
It.
Like, let's see. What
that's
needs to be, what I can hold off on.
But everything's good, man. God is good. And I'm so thankful to Shannon, Terry, and On Three, and Will Crawl. Those guys allowing me to continue to do this job that I've done for 17 years, and it's been so good to me, and I love it so much. So God is good, guys, and now it's just time to talk some ball. So big win for Ole Miss on Saturday. The biggest, most consequential, most complete, I think, win for Lane Kiffin in 6 years at Ole Miss. I mean, they've had some big wins, obviously. Georgia last year, we classify about that too, but they had some little bit more offensive struggles with that win, even though they dominated Georgia. This game, even when LSU was tough and they were making it tough on Ole Miss, the adjustments they made, the persistence in which they play with the identity that they formed with Trinidad Chambliss, it was just an incredible display of uniformity across the board for Ole Miss and kind of the direction and where things are for this program across the board. So just a great Ole Miss day, if not just for the fans and experiencing an amazing atmosphere and a hell of a football game. But, you know, I think a real statement about where Ole Miss as a program both is now and as a contender for the college football playoff this year, when many thought replacing all but 4 starters in their all 22, there would be, some type of drop-off or a rebuilding year or a reset of a year. But no, Ole Miss is right where it's been for the last 3 years. I mean, since, 2021, they're the third. They've got the third best winning percentage in the SEC behind Alabama and Georgia. This program is not the Ole Miss of old, and Saturday was, a flashing red light of that truth.
Well, I do want to talk about that young quarterback that has come in, and it's really shown how amazing this team truly is, not just at the starting position, but the depth of it as well. But I do want to go with Lane Kiffin first. I mean, he has been a very confident, very good coach for Ole Miss over the last few years. Talk about where you kind of rank him within the coaches in the SEC, whether we're talking about the greats like Nick Saban or, you know, we get down to the lowly Tennessee coaches that were throughout the 2010s.
Well, I'm just a little Ole Miss guy, so I don't presume to, be an expert about where he falls in the hierarchy of the national conversation. Yeah. But if the SEC is the best league in college football, if it's the standard, I think anyone to a man would agree that at worst, Lane Kiffin is top 5 in the 16-team conference, and I would argue he's top 3. What Lane Kiffin has done as Ole Miss is nothing short of remarkable, and how Ole Miss has rallied behind him, I think, is a testament to the commitment this program has always been willing to make to have winning football in North Mississippi. You know, this has been the perfect blend and marriage of coach and situation, and while everyone still lives off of the former reputation of Lane as a nomad and keep wanting to include him in coaching hot searches and stuff, and yes, he really pursued Auburn. He said in the ESPN doc he really considered it.
Yep.
What he got, what he's built at Ole Miss, he has built. He is responsible for. He's the CEO of this big, successful business that is being run in Oxford at Ole Miss now. He's got a situation unique unto himself and anyone else, his contemporaries in this sport. He makes just as much money as the dude who you might consider the best coach in college football. His entire family's here. They've laid down real roots. I mean, his kids are growing up here. Kevin Knox is playing quarterback at Oxford High School. I mean, this is a different – the world of college football has changed completely. Parity reigns. There are no dominant teams in college football anymore. But what there is with parity is the opportunity for teams that have always had that thirst and hunger to rise up and really compete with what we used to think were, quote, the big boys. There are no big boys anymore. That has happened, and Ole Miss has taken real advantage, and Lane Kiffin's been at the forefront of that. And a good example of his next level, all of his traits, both as a play caller and offensive mind, but also in scouting and development. I think it gets undersold that, man, Lane was ahead of everybody when it came to the portal. I'm not way ago, like back when we didn't even know what the portal was. It hadn't really been formed during COVID. And he went 5-5 in a 10-game All-SEC schedule with no fans in the stands. And he went and found two kids from Canada that no one else knew about, Tavius Robinson and Dean Leonard, both of which are still on NFL rosters. Tavius Robinson is playing a meaningful role for the Baltimore Ravens, one of the better teams in the AFC. What he has done in scouting and development is next level and separates him as a talent evaluator. And that leads you to this year finding Trinidad Chambliss. Because after the spring, guys, all they had on the roster that was a guarantee was Austin Simmons. And it's not like they love Austin. Austin's still the future. Nothing has changed in that respect. He just got hurt. And at the end of the day, the point of all of this and this entire exercise is to win games. And Trinidad Chambliss has checked every box. When you find an identity and a formula, feelings be damned. I mean, just like be a good teammate. Everybody know that we're pulling in the right direction. No one's trying to get anything over on anybody. And Trinidad Chambliss is another successful developmental and scouting developmental story from Lane Kiffin is leading Ole Miss to one of the very best starts in school history with the most consequential win, in my opinion, of Lane Kiffin's tenure. It was a statement made. And they got him from Ferris State in Division II when he was going to Temple after the spring. But they had identified him earlier than that. He had some other SEC interests. But they had recruited other quarterbacks, too, even in the winter portal. They went after Bo Perbula. They talked terms with him. He ended up going to Missouri because Ole Miss made the cost valuation. Like, man, that's really expensive, and we got this guy. But Trinidad Chambliss has been a perfect blend and mix and pairing of value, the money allocation that you have to have as a CEO, and scouting and development. And now Lane has essentially, in my opinion, found his Blake Sims. So applaudits all around. For this story and what Trinidad's done to take advantage of it, for how Austin's handling it, and most of all for Lane Kiffin, again, utilizing the system that we're all now stuck in and still finding a way to put a winning product on the field at Ole Miss with more limited resources than everybody else.
Well, and Ben Garrett joins us right now from Rebel Grove from On Three, and you were talking about with Lane Kiffin has been able to build in Oxford. I think there's been periods of time where it was like I don't know if it was ever actually said, but it was kind of like that. Well, we don't have that kind of stuff here. Like it was almost like, hey, look, we don't have either the support here. We don't have the means here that we can do what other SEC schools have done. It was kind of that like that at times, and it may not have been said aloud, but it was the feeling. But during his tenure there at Ole Miss to get to where this team is now, what all has changed on campus that the university has given him because of the success that he is starting to show on the field that you've talked about over the 2-3 years?
Everybody's pulling in the same direction. It's the uniformity I'm talking about. Everybody knows the end game here. A lot of coaches in the past just used little Ole Miss as an opportunity to better themselves and then move on to a bigger, better place. Okay. Like Tommy Tuberville was the obvious example with the whole Pine Box situation. Okay. And that's how Ole Miss used to be. That's true. I mean, they just wanted to have an opportunity to be on an even playing field with their contemporaries and show what the might, even though it's smaller, the might of what Ole Miss can be. So Keith Carter, the athletics director, Lane Kiffin, the CEO of Ole Miss football, Glenn Boyce as the chancellor of Ole Miss, there's complete uniformity down to the fans who just want to see winning football, and that's what Lane Kiffin has promised and provided them. So that includes, hey, guys, we got to raise some money for if we really want to hang or go do what we got to do to make the roster better. And people from Amory and Pontotoc, like everyone thinks that like Ole Miss has got a bunch of millionaires just pouring money into this thing. Dude, you got teachers from Amory, you got teachers from Pontotoc, you got nurses from New Albany that give $5 to $10 out of their paychecks, every week just because they want to see the Rebels win. That's the community right there. And Lane Kiffin has been completely ingratiated and welcomed and arms thrown around him by this community. And that matters. Like, there's still shit that matters, guys. You know what I mean? And so we've got to appreciate what he has found a home here. Landry will tell you that. His daughter, I mean, Knox will tell you that. I talked to Knox 2 weeks ago about this specifically. Their family's here. He's reconnected with his wife. His father passed away here. Mm-hmm. Like, what are we talking about? Like, Ole Miss has wrapped its arms around Lane Kiffin, and Lane Kiffin, who used to be a nomadic enigmatic kind of dude, he's found a home here, and with people that he didn't.
Ben.
No one is out for themselves with this. The only objective for everyone is, can Ole Miss go 1-0 this week? And I think that is a testament to how far this program has come, because honestly, multiple forces pulling in all different directions is what limited Ole Miss in the past, and now that's just not the case.
Yeah, and of course, this week, not going to be able to go 1-0. It is a bye week, so it is going to be a week of rest in preparation for Washington State coming up. But then after Washington State, I mean, it's Georgia. It's those big dog teams that Ole Miss is going to be working on. I want to know, though, because, of course, it was a complete performance. Trinidad looking really good, but there are still some holes. I want to know some of those. What are the holes that need to be kind of plugged to be filled as this team goes forward to eventually make that push into the playoffs and get deep into the playoffs, something that this Ole Miss team has not been able to do just yet?
That's a great question, and I would point to two specific areas, and both of them are on the lines of scrimmage. Ole Miss set records. It was the best modern-day defense in Ole Miss history last year with Walter Nolan and J.J. Pegues and Jared Ivey and Chris Poupaul. I mean, Trey Amos was an All-American in his 1 year. There, Ole Miss is doing it again at cornerback Pete Golding and finding a cast-off in Antonio Kite and making him into an all-league caliber player, right? A lot of what they've done philosophically and schematically and then their planning has worked, and that includes the defensive line and getting pressures, but getting home on sacks are still in the bottom tier of the SEC in production for overall sacks. It's a young group. It's a group that's still trying to figure each other out, and they're getting consistent pressure, but getting home on sacks, like, that's going to come back to bite you eventually. Mm-hmm. Yes, quarterback pressures are great, and the secondary is holding up and playing well and covering well, but those game-changing plays on defense – when maybe Trinidad has two turnovers instead of one, when it's a close game, you know what I mean? Like, that will swing not just momentum, but that could swing a season. That could swing a particular game for sure. So getting home for those playmaking plays like sacks, they haven't generated a lot of turnovers on defense. So, like, make the playmaking on that side of the ball, they have to take a step there. And then on offense, they've been really blessed with the front five of their starting offensive line. They the first time that group had ever been together ever in the history of their careers was against Georgia State. And it was a tough, tough game because Patrick Kudus, who hadn't been healthy for a year of practice or really played, who was just named SEC Offensive Lineman of the Week this week, he was the lowest graded Ole Miss offensive player against Georgia State. And four of the bottom seven graded players for Ole Miss in that game were starting offensive linemen. They stayed healthy. And the reason why they weren't playing together is because all of those guys had durability issues their entire career. So Ole Miss was just trying to get them to the season, get them healthy, and see if they can maintain it. And through five weeks, that starting five has been together and healthy. And they've gotten better as the rust has been knocked off. After that first bad experience, man, this offensive line is molded. Delano Townsend has really been a solidifying presence at left guard. Patrick Kudus is now playing at an all-league caliber level after he was the online Ole Miss community's punching bag after week one. I think that's a huge testament to Lane Kiffin's belief and understanding what he has and what he – like, we're talking about practice. You know what I mean? He was trying to get the games and let it play out, and it has played out, and they've only gotten better and better. And as they lean more and more into the heaviest run variation of Lane Kiffin's offense in 6 years at Ole Miss with a group that has always run block better than pass block, you're starting to see them get better and better. But here's the key. All those guys have durability issues. They don't have a lot of depth on the offensive line right now. If one of those guys get hurt, it's going to be hard for them, right? It's going to be hard for them to replenish that and to be producing at this level. So health on the offensive line and playmaking on defense specifically and creating turnovers and getting home on sacks, I think those are the two areas where if they can really start to generate more production in on the stat sheet, they're already a college football playoff contender, mm-hmm. but that would take them to a place where they should be considered a real national championship contender.
Ole Miss fans, football season is in full swing, and Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action. Playing on Underdog is easy. Simply pick whether your favorite players in any sport will go higher or lower on stats. For Ole Miss, that's touchdowns, receiving yards, interceptions, and more. Think Ole Miss quarterback Trinidad Chambliss will go over or under 2.5 combined touchdowns this week. I did too. It's why I made my picks on Underdog, the place to win money all season long. Ole Miss greats DK Metcalf and A.J. Brown have been winning picks all season long in the NFL. Get your picks right and you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. And you can play with as little as $1. Download the Underdog app today and sign up with my promo code, CHAMPIONS, to score $100 in bonus funds or entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog. Make picks. Win money. Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska, 19 plus in Colorado for some games, 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia. Must be present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. See UnderdogFantasy.com for details. Offer not valid in Maryland, Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In New York, call the 247-HOPE-LINE at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
Yeah, a lot of the new pieces for this Ole Miss team come in the form of running backs as well as wide receivers. Ben Garrett from Rebel Grove on three is our guest, and I want to talk about that running back because Kiwon Lacy comes over from Mizzou, wasn't really getting the touches he wanted over there. He's still young. I believe he's a sophomore, and he's one of the top five running backs in the SEC. Talk about him and how he's able to amplify his career with the help of that line in front of him.
Y'all remember the story, and it emerged initially on my site over at the Ole Miss Spirit, now Rebel Grove on three, the Ole Miss on three site, when they had that picture of Lane Kiffin sitting in the bleachers waiting to scout Quinshon Judkins.
Yep.
And we talked about how, Lane, look at this find by Lane. Same thing with Kiwon Lacy. Now, Quinshon was a three-star coming out of Pike Road, Alabama as a high school player, high school prospect.
I appreciate him, Kiwon, by the way. I'm a Browns fan. I appreciate it.
Hell yeah. Yeah, dude, like Quinshon – Ole Miss fans don't hate on Quinshon. Quinshon's a single-season record holder for rushing yards in Ole Miss history as a freshman. It wasn't that. It was how he left. And there's issues there. But, like, no one's, like, holding grudges against Quinshon. Yeah. But the point is, like, Lane found him, and everyone praised him for scouting and development. Kiwon was a four-star, so it's not like he was some little-known prospect. But Lane handpicked him in that recruiting class, and he signed with Missouri, you know. You just sometimes lose. But the minute he decided he wanted to transfer, he knew where he was going. It was a tough decision for me. We wanted to go to Ole Miss initially, or it was just even with Missouri. He chose Missouri. He rectified his mistake, and Lane Kiffin was like, yeah, I still believe in the talent, what he is, because you look at the production his freshman year, it just wasn't there. And now, not only is he the second leading running back nationally missed tackles behind Ahmad Hardy, who Ole Miss nearly got him too. Right, like they almost had Ahmad Hardy and potentially Kiwon Lacy, had him on campus for official visit, but they decided to pass because they were pursuing Justice Hayes, who's now in Michigan, and they just wanted to keep their options. But Kiwon has proved, like, even without those guys, Kiwon is the bell cow that Lane Kiffin evaluated and thought he was out of high school. And even more than that, guys, he's a next level pass protector. He's not going to blow you over with his size. When you look at him, like, that's the all star running back. He's not a particularly tall kid. It's not like he's built like a brick shit house like Derrick Henry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what he is he's tough. He's so tough. And, man, he will get in there and mix it up. He can peek his tail off. He's got elite playmaking traits. And the pass pro has been unbelievable. Ole Miss hadn't had that kind of pass protection from a running back, honestly, in Lane's career here. And that includes Quinshon, who, like, he's as good as he is. Pass pro is always the thing that separates. And Kiwon Lacy has stepped up in that. So, yes, the running – he's a dang good running back. Lane Kiffin would have told you that to begin with. But what has separated him is that man is a competitor that has no problem doing the dirty work that is required to really separate you and make you a next-level player. And, he's an absolute stud, and it's another testament to Lane Kiffin and their scouting and development department that went and found those guys in Canada 5 years ago, that found Trinidad Chambliss when they had no other quarterback but Austin Simmons on the roster after the spring. And then in this scenario, when they had to replenish the position and find a stud, because what kept them from the playoff last year was they didn't have a running game. They didn't. Mm-hmm. And it killed them against Kentucky. It killed them against Florida. And now they have one in Kiwon Lacy, and they have depth, too, behind him. So, yeah, I appreciate you asking about him specifically, because I feel like Kiwon is not being talked about enough. I said it before the year. I think he's going to be their best offensive playmaker. And people are like, Austin Simmons. And, of course, they would. Why wouldn't they? But – This kid here, he's a superstar, and he's now he's gotten his breakout opportunity. He's taking advantage of it. He's not letting it go to waste.
So before we let you go, I got a couple of things, because over the past week, you've even mentioned it during this interview about how Lane Kiffin had basically accepted the Auburn job, and that it was, you know, kind of his daughter that was like, nah, how about we don't do that? And so my question is about what we've talked about and what you've said is Jackson Dart's now starting for the New York Giants. He looked pretty good in his very first start. You've got two quarterbacks on campus now where now they're kind of in a good quarterback situation where you've got one that's injured, another one that the backup is showing out, and here probably in the next couple of weeks, there's going to be a decision that has to be made about who's going to get the snaps. What about the development that Lane Kiffin has done when it comes to the quarterback position? Because that doesn't really happen at the job he was almost about to take when it comes to developing a quarterback. So I'm just wondering about him, if you know how he does so well with that.
It's what he's always. That's what's always separated Lane Kiffin. Quarterback development. Quarterbacks want to play here. They want to play for Lane Kiffin. Blake Sims, Jalen Hurts. Pick your guys that like that didn't have necessarily the recruiting pedigree of Tua Tagovailoa or and Austin Simmons being a 4-star, reclassified up 2 classes and graduated early. Quarterback development is Lane Kiffin's bread and butter, and he can turn. He just needs some moldable traits, a few elite level traits, not across the board elite level traits, and he can turn them in to winning quarterbacks. This is Ole Miss's Blake Sims, is Trinidad Chambliss. That's why I've been saying it since I saw it in the preseason. I told anybody that would ask and I would actually listen that if Austin allows Trinidad Chambliss to get this job, he's going to be dang near impossible to get it back. And that's what's happened here. So a decision will have to, like you say, a decision will have to be made. And I don't disagree with that, but I will say that there really isn't a decision to be made at all right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like,
right.
Austin could have played last week. He was healthy enough to play. Lane started Trinidad. Everyone knows with their eyes what they're seeing. It has nothing. It doesn't speak ill or in any bad way about Austin. Austin is a great player and a great prospect. It's just, unfortunately, sometimes these things happen, and we celebrate success. We don't really celebrate what we perceive as to be someone else's failure. He hasn't failed. All that has happened is that Trinidad Chambliss is taking advantage of his opportunity. And no one is at fault here. Especially when, at the end of the day, I'm sorry, but the goal is for Ole Miss to go 1-0. And if you have it, like, and these kids make real money now, right?
Yes.
So at the end of the day, it's not personal. It's just business, and Ole Miss as a business is humming.
So it's kind of like a Tua Jalen situation. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got two good quarterbacks. It's just one of them right now is the one that's doing it. We're not going to mess everything up because you feel like you need your – or you want to get your playing time.
Yeah, but even still, it's like he's checked every box you wanted him to check.
Yes.
He's done everything you wanted to. Like, it would be unfair to Trinidad to take him out at this point. And then you're showing it's not merit-based.
Right.
You're not rewarding good play. You know what I mean? Like, he's done nothing. It's not his fault that Austin hurt his ankle. Mm-hmm. He lost the starting job in fall camp, you know? He pushed him harder than most people thought he would. And he did one thing all through in fall camp that Austin couldn't do, not protect the football, not turn the ball over. And that's shown up in every start, except for last week, his first bad decision with that 50-50 ball against LSU that nearly swung the game. But that's going to happen. My point is like, across the board, where has this kid done anything wrong but just produced for Ole Miss, and why is that a bad thing?
No.
It's not. And Lane Kiffin understands that, too. Again, it's not personal. It's just business, and business is booming at Ole Miss right now.
No doubt about that. Five touchdowns, one interception for Trinidad. Of course, Austin Simmons got off really strong, 4 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. But, Joe, real quick, I know you got a question because a little bit to our Benny boy right here.
Yeah, because if you go and you look at his X feed, he's got a picture of his beautiful family. And I could be wrong on this, but what is it, boy first and then 2 daughters? Is that your situation?
No, I'm a 2-girl, a girl dad. It's all I ever wanted. I prayed to God. I said, listen, we don't need another Ben Garrett running around here, okay? I'll take it, and I'll love him, and we'll play video games, and we'll go to wrestling stuff and go to football games.
Oh my God,
but, like, really,
me.
I want to be a girl dad, and they couldn't care less about sports. They're perfect. They're answered prayers from God. And Gracie, and my 13-year-old, my oldest, she just turned 13. I've got a teenager now. It's horrifying. But she was just elected vice president in New Albany Middle School. And I tell you, that is the stuff that is motivating and that keeps you going in this business when it can get really tough at times. Man, I love my family, and I thank you for asking about them because, man, they're just blessings.
Hey, man, I've got a 6-year-old boy, and I've got 2 daughters. One's a 2 years old. One is 5 months old. And we have just reached the stage. I know exactly if you're going to know what I'm talking about because I can tell how much you love your daughters. Is my middle daughter, who's 2, just now started looking at me with those, like, I love you eyes. Like, those, like, you can
change your life, bro.
Man, I'm telling you, like, you could hear her always say I love you and the hugs and all that. But then she just did this, like, in the last week. She started, like, looking at me, and you could really see the love in her eyes. And you're like, whatever you need. I don't care what it is for the rest of your life.
There'll never be another man in her life, even if she gets married to somebody down the line or, commits herself to somebody down the line. But there'll never be a man in her life that has her heart like her dad. And yep. It's our responsibility to just love the shit out of them. Of course, correct them and help them guide her on the right way and make sure they don't talk to their mama too ugly.
Yeah.
But they're the greatest blessings that anyone can get. Children are from God, and God is good.
Well, Ben, man, we definitely appreciate it, man. I love how awesome and how amazing you talk about your family as well and your passion for Ole Miss. We deeply appreciate it, man.
Anytime, guys. I'm happy to come back on and enjoy talking to y'all. We'll talk again.
All right. See you, man.
Good stuff from Ben Garrett. You guys can find all of his work over on 3. Of course, Rebel Grove on 3 on X, and you can find him at Spirit Ben. Very strong.
Very
words.
Spirited.
This guy, look it. All right. I didn't know what I was getting into. He was really cool when he responded back to me. He was instantly throwing the number. He was like, let's do this. I was like, okay, let's get it. Then we get him on, man. Let me tell you, he could be a coach after all of this stuff is over.
He sounded like he probably at one time, one life was.
He could be a coach after the on 3 stuff, but very colorful character, very loving character, and very good with words. I will say that.